Hello, everybody. Welcome back. And if you're a new listener, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Simon Ward, and you're listening to the High Performance Human Podcast. You might not realize, but you are a high performance human. It isn't just about your fitness level and your race results. It's not even how you compare with all of those other endurance athletes. Being a high performance human is about your whole life performance, sleep, nutrition, exercise, relationships, mental health, and so much more. And you don't have to be a high level athlete to excel at any or all of those. We appreciate that you might still have some room for improvement, and if so, then we'd love to help you. I currently have availability to take on a couple of clients, and my wife Beth, who's a certified life coach, also has some availability. So depending on what you're looking to focus on, we have you covered, and you can find details in the show notes below. All right, on to this week's guest. Now, artificial intelligence, or AI, is gaining more traction in our lives. It has been here for a while, but the launch of ChatGPT has really accelerated our awareness of how it can simplify and enrich our lives. AI will also be a part of our athletic lives as well. Certainly the way we plan our training, analyze and adjust so that we get the best results. But will this benefit athletes and coaches alike? Do you know what? I don't have enough knowledge on the subject to answer that, but today's podcast guest does. Professor Paul Larson will be familiar to regular listeners of this show, as he's been on before many times. We've spoken about high intensity interval training, and we even spoke about artificial intelligence back in 2021. But since then, there's been a lot of advances in AI and with his own platform, Athletica. So in this conversation, Paul and I recap on what AI is and how Athletica works for both athletes and coaches. We talk about the threats and opportunities to both and why garbage in, garbage out is so relevant here. We also talk about why athletes need some personal responsibility if they're going to use AI platforms and why coaches don't need to be worried about ever being redundant. So buckle up, because it's another great conversation. You'll probably want to take some notes, and let's hear from the prof. Welcome back. And now probably top of the leaderboard, Professor Paul Larson.
Hey, Simon.
How are you keeping, my friend?
Very well. Yes. Life is good. We are, ticking away with things, making progress finally on my various different projects that I'm sure we're going to speak on here today. How are you?
Well, I'm good. We've just talked about my knee, so we don't need to talk about that in front of the listeners anymore, other than it was nice to get your counsel and guidance and encouragement that non-operative route is a good way to go for me.
Yes, so that's the way I went. You will be fine, my friend.
But you, I mean, we've done several podcasts, but you are in a different location in your house today. You've got a gym there and your exercise bike next to you. It looks like a pretty nifty place to hang out.
Yeah. So this is my laboratory. This is the prof lab, and this is where it all happens, right? So this is where we test various different products and whatnot that people send us that we're implementing into Athletica. And this is where we lecture about the science and application of high intensity interval training and all the things we've talked on previous podcasts, with you about, Simon. So yeah, it all happens here in the lab.
Can you share what some of the products that you're testing at the moment then that we might not have talked about before?
Let's see. Hold on a sec. Yeah. So got a few. This is a pretty cool product. The Output device, which is basically Output Sports. And it's like an accelerometer that just does absolutely everything. You put this on various different locations. You can put it on your dumbbells, your barbells, on your person, and you can do jump tests. It counts your reps. This is really, we're looking at sort of the future of power meters. Same thing with power meters for strength training, ultimately. It's an accelerometer, and that's that one. We've got the Breathe Way Better device here. We're kind of testing, and Breathe Way Better, this really looks at lung function, and can we, actually specifically train our lungs, our lung respiratory muscles, as something to, potentially enhance VO2 max.
So sorry, is that sort of an advanced version of Power Breathe?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. And there's many different types, but that's one of those ones. And then this one is fascinating too. The fourth frontier heart rate monitor. This one actually measures ECG in real time. So, you know, anyone with various different cardiac arrhythmias and these sorts of things, if they want to capture that, well, in real time on their devices, they can, you can now buy a heart rate monitor that gives you the same quality of ECG as you would have if you went into the clinician. So those are in front of me at the moment.
Okay, are those the sorts of things that are available on the market that we could put links to in the show notes?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. No, I can fire out links for all those things if they've caught the user's interest and they can read more about them.
I was listening to a Peter Attia podcast the other day when he was talking to the Norwegian tri coach. And
Olav Alexander Bu.
That's right. But Attia mentioned that Olaf had told him about this portable VO2 max machine that they use. And it, and Attia was skeptical, like most people, you know, but they used to have the Douglas bags and the, you know, the Oxycart in the lab and all of that sort of, you know, large scale machinery. And he doubted whether this thing was accurate. And he said, it's absolutely blown his mind. Have you tried those?
Yes, yes. I'm actually blanking on the name of it right now. VO2 Master. There we are. So yes. Yeah, VO2 Master is absolutely incredible. And it is, it's getting better and better, more and more reliable. And so, yeah, so you can basically just like this Breathe Way Better sort of thing, you can, at the end of your pool set, for example, I've been using it with a swimmer, and we'll go in and he'll be doing a bunch of different pool sets. And then if, as long as you've got a person that can help him out, you get right to the end of your progressive step test and VO2 max at the end of the pool, you basically come out and when you breathe into that and it, you know, within seconds, it calculates VO2 very accurately. So yeah, VO2 Master, they're actually just down the way. I believe they're based in Vernon or Kelowna. So it's like, yeah, 2 hours drive from where I live. So yeah, incredible device. They've been developing it for so long, right? So it's like, it's a little bit like the story with us with Athletica, where it's like, it's kind of one of these 10-year passion projects, but finally they're kind of getting to that level where the accuracy is really solid and you can get something. So,
yeah. And I think with there's so many products where the idea is great, but the timing's got to be right as well, hasn't it? It's got to be the market's got to be willing to accept the idea and buy into it, but also the technology's got to be there to make the thing work properly as it's intended.
You've said a mouthful there, man. You said that's the $1 million thing. One of the things that I've learned and everything that I've been through is timing is everything. And Yeah. And again, sorry not to keep going back to Athletica, but that's the world that I live in, my AI coach. And we were just this close to throwing in the towel, not maybe 6-9 months ago, but then ChatGPT arrived and it was all of a sudden everyone showed up. And but it was without that timing, just like you said, we were just about gone. So we hung in long enough. It's crazy how the world works and with timing. But then at the same time, my empathy goes out for so many entrepreneurs that also have these same ideas that are great ideas. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, due to timing, they have to say goodbye to it or at least put it on hold. Mm-hmm. And you know what? We can even talk a little bit about Super Sapiens, which is the blood glucose monitor company. Now, they've had to take a pause. I'm not sure if you've heard, but they've basically had to take a pause. You can't get a Super Sapiens continuous blood glucose monitor at the moment due to various issues. They're likely, you know, going to reset and come back. But there's just another classic example. They came hard out of the gates. It was a lot of excitement, but for whatever reason, couldn't get to the revenue sort of model wasn't fitting, and they had to say goodbye for now.
What's really interesting, because I remember listening to, I think it might have been a Peter Attia conversation with the guy who was the CEO of Dexcom. Right now, at that point, Dexcom were making CGMs for the diabetic market, but he was using it in the way that Super Sapiens had intended, to check on your blood sugar responses through exercise, through lack of sleep, you know, stress and what have you. And I was quite intrigued by all this. So I contacted Dexcom in the UK and asked them if I could get hold of one. They said, well, if unless you're diabetic and you've got a prescription from your doctor, we don't sell them into the private market. And I persisted and they wouldn't let me have one. Then they said, well, okay. I told them what I was doing. I told them I'd spoken to you, I think, after that first conversation with you and Blues in Kona. Do you remember when I came around for dinner and you were both wearing them? And so I managed to get one, but it cost me £150 for three of them, which would have probably lasted me 4 or 5 weeks. And I was quite intrigued by the data I was getting, you know, which was piqued by just chatting with you and Bluesy. And I thought, what a great idea. But I got a real knockback from when I posted about this from people who were diabetic, saying it was trivializing the seriousness of their situation. You know, they needed it because it was, you know, it helped maintain their, you know, health in a black or white way. You know, if we don't have this, we could die. And this is just making it, you know, like a fun thing that athletes can have and you're just playing with it. Then Super Sapiens came on the market, but still it's very unique and exclusive small niche market for those people who are engaged in it. In the UK, they're running a project called Zoe with Tim Spector. And I don't know if you've come across Zoe, but it's a big project, and they're trying to improve the health of the nation and the eating habits and the awareness of food and blood sugar response and microbiome as well. And as you do have to pay to be part of their study, but it's much cheaper than it would be if you were you know, going through a private clinic. You pay about £600 for, and that's a rough figure. I think that's what I paid for a year, maybe a bit less. But for that, you get a full microbiome test with 100 bacteria identified. You get a full, they give you a blood profile. They look at your blood glucose and blood fat sensitivity. You get a CGM for 2 weeks. You get an app that measures all of this, and then you get an online coaching program. But what's really interested me is the number of people who you wouldn't normally expect to have been engaged in what a CGM's telling them that are absolutely fascinated by how it's affecting their blood glucose and what foods they respond to and react to, you know, and talking about things that they've been told, these are good for you, you know, you should eat more bananas, and they're getting a massive spike. And things that they've been told, well, you shouldn't perhaps eat this, and they get no response to.
Exactly. You said it. That is the biggest thing that you learn when you play around with these CGMs, is you learn your own individual blood glucose response. And remember, your own blood glucose response drives your insulin level. And your insulin level is the key central hormone that is going to cause for anabolism or storage of nutrients, right? And that includes the storage of fat, and likewise the release of fat in a low insulin level, right? This is why we want to have stable blood glucose levels. So I had the exact same response, Simon, when I first had my first Dexcom and checking it out. I was like, I couldn't believe some of the things that affected my blood glucose. Stress. I got a bad email from someone at work, and it pissed me off. And that stress response, right? Glucose being or cortisol being a glucocorticoid, big cortisol response, glucose spiking, right? Well, of course, my insulin level is probably going up there as well. So this is why we know that stress kills us too, right? And leads to add stress and nutrition, and you've got, you know, you're on the road to metabolic disease if you're not careful.
But and the thing that fascinates me and brings me back to that whole point about timing is the market that Super Sapiens was targeting were the people who were engaged with that, but that's quite a limited market. And then there's the, you know, the Venn diagram of the people who are interested and the people who can afford it. And then you made it even smaller. But with what Zoe are doing and educating people on the importance of that whole paragraph you've just narrated there about, you know, the insulin mechanism and the wider implications on long-term health, I feel like there are more people now that have an understanding of what CGMs can do. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's the timing that Super Sapiens need, is to be able to ride on the back of that greater public awareness, and that their product is beneficial not just for people who are competitive athletes, but, you know, average Joe and Joanna that just want to be a bit more mindful about their health.
Oh, absolutely, right? And remember that market of people that are, you know, pre-diabetic is actually a lot larger than we think, right? There's a lot, there's people are kind of, and this was even me, right? Like I'm putting myself in this same category. I got a little bit high blood pressure and started developing a gut. And this is when I was hanging out with Plues in New Zealand Olympic program and whatnot. And we were, you know, we've told the story a lot of times where we're going downstairs, we're having our coffee and our two sugars and our flat white, and we're having our muffin and all this sort of thing. And my big bar of chocolate every night before bed with my red wine. And, you know, I'm late 30s going on early 40s, despite all the, you know, training with the Plues, I was starting to develop a bit of a gut. And, yeah, that's the understanding my own individual response with the things like Super Sapiens, Dexcom, Zoe. It really helped individualize for me, because all that matters is you, the listener. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. You're the only person you need to think about, and you're your own N-1 experiment. And this technology enables that. But yeah, to your point, Simon, the timing wasn't perfect for them for whatever reason. I think when the continuous blood lactate sensors emerge, and it, you know, there's a lot of talk and, you know, quiet whispering about the emergence of these from various different players, that's going to probably be the time when I think you'll see Super Sapiens take another step forward with something with kind of offering both to more the wider market in across a larger sport category, right? Like team sports are going to be very interested in continuous lactate monitoring. And you can just imagine all the things we can couple that with, you know, things like breathing shirts. So I don't have one of the Timewear shirts right now, but Timewear is something that Steven Seiler, those that follow Steven Seiler, they know he's playing with, which is the basically where they're looking at breathing shirts and respiratory shirts. So you can getting not just heart rate, but you're also getting respiration rate. And we feel that that's actually telling us something a little bit more about not just stress like your TSS, not just stress, but strain and how strained you are, right? And this concept, maybe some of your listeners have heard about durability, right? So the more durable you are, probably the more controlled, hypothesizing, but based on pilot data, but it's more likely that your respiration rate is going to be more stable. You know, if we're looking at someone like Alistair or Plues doing their incredible events, right? Their respiration rate is probably still stable. They're very durable towards the end. Whereas you and me, mate, if we're trying to hang on to their wheel in the back, right? Like our respiration rate is going to be sort of through the world. We're not as durable. We're more strained, right? So these things are coming out. And again, we're going to need things that are interpreting all of these different sensors that we're talking about. To try to understand it, because it's almost all so overwhelming. At least it is to me, mate.
Well, and you're a lot smarter than I am, Paul. So imagine me. I'm sort of you talk about trying to run after Alistair in an athletic event, trying to keep up with you in the intellectual stakes. That's me. You're durable, and I'm straining.
Come on.
But I do, you know, that's why I chat with folks like you, because I'm curious about all this stuff, and I'm interested to know where things are going. And as a coach, I'm not a scientist, but I have a reasonable grasp of science. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's interesting for me to know what the things I need to be looking at, because we can't look at everything. So what are the important things that I need to be taking account of when I and all the folks that, you know, that I tutor as a part of British Triathlon or other coaches I communicate with, what are the important things for us as we're going forward? Because we shouldn't be frightened by technology. We should see it as something that's going to be there to help us if we can embrace it in the right way, I think.
Oh, yeah, 100%. That's what it's there for. It's a tool. That's all it is. It doesn't. Yeah, it may change how you practice a bit. Great, but it is only if it's being used as a tool. So that's with all this tech, that's what it should be doing.
Well, that's brought us really nicely around to what we were really here tonight for, is to chat about Athletica.ai. So you've made a couple of references about that. Perhaps you could tell those listeners who aren't familiar with, well, maybe we should start off with AI, but then once you've done that, maybe we could go backwards a bit and just understand what artificial intelligence is, because you mentioned ChatGPT, and I guess people have heard of that, but may still not fully understand whether that's just a system or an actual sort of learning program. So,
yeah. So ChatGPT uses a form of artificial intelligence. Specifically, it's a large language model. These are some of the terms they're using, and it's a model that basically, understands language and can, it's a level of intelligence that's computer enabled. And I asked ChatGPT to define for us artificial intelligence, and I asked it also to do it in a way that most people can understand, and this was its output. So let you tell me if this sounds good. AI, or artificial intelligence, is like having a super smart digital assistant that helps computers think and make decisions just like humans do. So and then I also asked it, and maybe explain it to us all in the context of triathlon. It says, well, in the context of triathlons, AI might be used to design training programs tailored to each athlete's unique strengths and weaknesses. We all want that. It might be used to analyze race data to identify areas for improvement, or even to help simulate race scenarios to strategize the best approach for your day. Mm-hmm. Essentially, AI is all about using advanced computer technology to make tasks easier, faster, more efficient, whether it's in training, racing, or other aspects of life. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a pretty basic definition, and we can go very deep into this one, but I'm not sure how. Like, there's things like artificial neural networks, machine learning, mm-hmm. numerical optimization, and there's many different forms of this. So it scares the pants out of me. Like, when I try to talk with the guys that are helping me do this sort of thing, I'm just the guy with the ideas on the outside. So mm-hmm. I'm a bit like you. But this is kind of what it's doing. There's some super smart, intelligence that's out there that is kind of computer based, and it's arrived. It's definitely here. And that is what Athletica is doing. It really, when we look back at everything we've spoken about, all these sensors and devices that are pitted around me right now, mm-hmm. and the overwhelm that we just talked about, this is where artificial intelligence really comes in and can be handy, because it can, there's a saying, like, it can separate the wheat from the chaff, right? Like, it can, mm-hmm. It can find the big rocks of any sort of solution, because our human brains are limited. And we can only focus on the here and now, right? Mm. This is our advantage. But this, this AI can be a little bit of an assistant, whether we're an athlete or a coach, if we leverage it appropriately.
Mm. I think I mentioned to you that I'd asked some of the people that are in my Facebook tribe if they'd got any questions for you. So we did get some quite good responses there. And one of them clearly had a deeper understanding of AI than I do. He said, well, what type of AI is it? And I said, well, can you explain a bit more? And he said, well, is it reactive or full learning? But he didn't mention neural networks, and he didn't mention machine learning. And so I didn't bother pressing the button anymore there, because again, it's going deeper into that thing that I don't think I'm ready for yet. So Is it just reactive? Is it just processing data and telling me what that data is telling it, like number crunching? Or is it actually full learning? Or is it a hybrid of those?
Yeah, I think it's a hybrid. We use a bunch of different AI principles. The very first one is, and this is where kind of that we pride ourselves on and how we're different, we feel we're different than everyone else, is that we are first and foremost, Athletica is a program that is based on science. You know my background, Simon. Like, I've been embedded in science for how many, 30 years, written a book on the science and application of high intensity interval training, which isn't just HIIT. It's all different. Phil Maftone's done the health mm-hmm. chapter, for example, yeah. right? So we do everything, load response to load, everything. This is ultimately the playbook for Athletica. So just in terms of how it's built, there is a lot of if-then statements that are in there. Mm-hmm. And you know, maybe we should even just start and explain a little bit simply how it works. So you would rock up to Athletica. You would and you say you had a race. It could be a marathon, could be a triathlon, could be a bike race, could be a rowing event. We're doing rowing now as well. Could be a duathlon. You plug in your race date. You connect your wearable. And we now draw a line out from today based on who you are and what you've done over the last, 2 weeks originally, but we're backloading to 2 years now. And then we progressively push out that training using various algorithms out to mm-hmm. to that date. Now, I know you'll know about this, Simon, because you and I were at the Training Peaks conference together. And you know, remember in Training Peaks, they have that performance management chart where they talk mm-hmm. about things like your fitness and your fatigue and your form. Well, that is Bannister's TRIMP model, which has been around since the 70s. We have an advanced version of that TRIMP model, that loading model that drives the decisions and adapts on the daily basis. And this is the feature in Athletica that we're most proud about, is the AI logic. In other words, giving you the ideal session and the ideal load to do tomorrow or today based on you and based on what has occurred in the past. And that is like our logic is our beast. That's the thing we're most proud of. Mm. So that's the first, that's one. And I'm continuing to go here, but like we also have, we use some machine learning within something called our workout wizard. So the workout wizard is like a computer feature that gives an alternate session. So say you had a bike session today, but you wanted to do a different session. Say it was an easy L2 ride, but you were short on time and you wanted to get that same load using a HIIT session. Well, you just click on your workout wizard and you find the ideal session for that. So there's some high level machine learning that's in there. So yeah, there's others, but, and I can't hear you, Simon.
I'm sure we're gonna come back to those as we jump in and out of rabbit holes. On that workout wizard and the adjusting and adapting, that makes me think of the situation where an athlete wakes up. You know, there's a planned hard session at the track running, and they're just not feeling it that day. Maybe they've had maybe they've been up late prepping for an exam or writing a report, or maybe they had a heavy weekend of socializing. So they want an easy workout. Now, in my world, and probably yours previous to this, we would have trained our athletes to make personally responsible decisions, to say, if you're too tired to do this, then you need to make the decision to go for an easier run or sack it off altogether and just have an easy night. But we also know that there's a lot of people who say, well, that's in the program. Paul's written it. Simon's written it. I feel like I'm compelled to do it. I had a coach for accountability, so it's in the plan. I don't want it to turn red, so I'm going to do it. Now there's a halfway house where they can go, okay, I'm accepting that I'm tired. I don't want to do nothing, but I don't want to do that one because that's what the good coaches have trained me to do. So I want something easy to do. So they plug in the workout wizard instead of ringing me up and or you, and it does it for them. Is that right?
That's correct. You nailed it. That's exactly it. And a lot of, you know, users and coaches might question that, but that's what we, you know, we definitely believe that's best. That we really try to teach people to develop their own feel for coaching. They're their best barometer of their load. It's called load response. It's like, how have you responded to your training because of all the various different things, a fight with your spouse, fight with your boss, you know, becoming ill because you've eaten something bad or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. Right. So we have other physiological markers we can talk about that we take into account, but we really believe that your mind and your brain is probably the most powerful one. I mean, I know that. And that's what I try to teach my athletes that I'm coaching from afar to trust. And yeah, Workout Wizard helps with that appropriate alternate, right? Mm-hmm. You can go to lots of these other programs that, and you can choose from 10, you know, 1,000 different other sessions. But how do you know? We just provide one or two on either sort of sides. Here's a hit session you could do. Here's an easier session you could do. If you're injured, you could do this, right? Like you're in your example, we even have meditation with your ACL rupture, right, Simon? So yeah, like there's always just kind of an appropriate something else you could do that would to keep ticking over. Because remember, we all know probably the most important factor that leads to success overall is consistency of training. So the more we develop our feel to get the right session, remember that the most important session is the next session, the better we're off, the better we're going to be off.
Mm. Yeah. So obviously you've talked about the athlete there, if they tell you what race they've got and where they're at now and what they've done in the, you know, well, up to 2 years back. So the program can take all of that data and create a plan for them. I know you've got a coach platform as well. So how do the coaches benefit from using AI with their athletes or for themselves?
They get the same luxury that the athlete does. But so basically a lot of this stuff is they're able to just do the same sort of thing. So they can, you know, they operate a little bit differently in terms of getting on WhatsApp or the phone or whatever medium that you use, really having a good conversation with that athlete, understanding what their goals are, then they can do a lot of the same stuff for them where they can plug in those race dates. They can just make sure that they're, aligned for that. They can adjust sessions how they want them to be. They can plug in their own sessions and the system adapts all the other sessions in accordance. Right. So say you have like your standard track workout on Tuesdays and crit ride on Wednesdays. Well, all those can kind of be plugged in for the coach. And then there's a conversation piece, a communication portal that goes beside there as well. So the coaches, they get time freed up ultimately because they don't have to do all of the tedious programming of the sessions, which are very difficult from my own experience, is very difficult to get them right for everyone, right? Especially like a HIIT session. Well, we have these systems now that we'll get, it's called the workout reserve actually. And it's based on your last 6 weeks of data. So we get a power profile of you over your last 6 weeks. And you can actually see based on what you have done in the last 6 weeks, how appropriate any given session is right there and then. And this workout reserve is like a battery level, and it will fall down in line with the recency of your profile. Not only can you see this in retrospectively in the analysis, but we now have just created a Garmin app. So just about every Garmin device that's on the market, you can download the Garmin app, which is free, and you can see your workout reserve falling in real time. Mm-hmm. So this is again, unique to Athletica and something that we're very, very proud of. Our backend specialists and Garmin developers are, Garmin app developers are, they're amazing. I'm not sure where I'm going with this, where I was with this, Simon, but there's a lot of cool tech to optimize for both the athlete and the coach. There's all these new tools that are available that weren't really there when we were just using Training Peaks.
I think if I was a coach reading about Athletica and the other AI systems that are on the market, I would imagine that there's a fair few of them that are feeling a bit threatened by this advance in technology. I mean, I also appreciate that they might be feeling overwhelmed at the same time because of all of the new sources of data that are there. Because we know what triathletes are like. They've got a Whoop now, most people, or an Aura Ring, or some of the others that are coming on the market. They've definitely got a heart rate monitor. They've got the Garmin or the whatever, the Apple Watch that measures all the sleep data and the HRV. they've probably got a power meter on the bike. They've got some form goggles. They've got a power. They've got a stride running pod on their shoes. You know, that's a dozen different pieces of information I've mentioned there in 30 seconds. And there's opportunities in all of these platforms to load all of that data up. I mean, goodness knows how those athletes keep track of it, or the coaches, if the coach is working with 10 or 15 athletes. So I sense overwhelm from coaches, and I sense threat. And again, that was part of the reason for chatting with you, to sort of figure out how we can talk to the coaches and encourage them about what their part is within all of this. You've sort of touched on it a little bit by saying it will free up time to allow them to do the sort of the empathy bit and the softer stuff. But can you just outline a little bit more about, you know, why coaches should feel excited about this rather than threatened?
Yeah, well, I think you've really alluded to it. You've also touched on the real problem that we're trying to solve with Athletica, right? So we're in this digital age now, right? Where, like you just kind of said, we are data rich, but we are insight poor. And, you know, there's over like 300 million fitness trackers that are sold every day. And they're all, you know, giving us these different pieces of the puzzle that you've just described. But users, like, they're inundated with data that they just don't understand. These devices and sensors as well, they're always answering, you know, how did I do yesterday? Not really telling us what it means or what I should do tomorrow. And that's what we aim to do with Athletica for both athletes that want to be self-coached and for coaches. And we can do that now with large language models as well. So this is kind of, in addition to like the clear science-based prescriptions that we're giving on Athletica, we're also really trying to synthesize all of that data and pull out the parts that the athlete will need to know in very simple terms at the level that they are at, from the person that's just getting off the couch and learning to exercise, right through to the sports scientist, high performance coach. We can now speak to all of those audiences using these large language models like ChatGPT. We're not exclusive to ChatGPT. There's, you know, Lambda 2. There's all these other different large language models out there, and we have our own IP that pushes to those. I guess that's probably one of our coolest features in Athletica, is our summary analysis that basically gives a summary, just like a coach would do, of what we are seeing in the session. So we can summarize the complete session, tell you what we saw that was good, how well you executed your session relative to what was prescribed. And you know what that means for tomorrow potentially. So and we're going to do that for coaches too. Like, coaches will get a different output because they might need to know different things. You know, we can do a triage format as well, right? You know, Simon, as a coach yourself, you might have 15 athletes. Well, who do you pay attention to the most, like, or at least right off the bat, right? When you wake up in the morning and you turn on your computer and you've got people from all around the world, who should you speak to first? Well, we can very quickly give you an idea of who's in the most trouble potentially and needs your attention right away versus who's chipping along and going well, and we can wait an hour or two, whereas you should get on the phone as soon as possible with Sharon from wherever, right? You know what I mean? So you've nailed it. This is what we aim to solve with Athletica. We're taking all of that complexity. This is what AI, it thrives on complexity. We're taking all the complexity, summarizing it, synthesizing it, and just providing you with what you need to know as a user, coach or athlete, to get the most out of, to make the next step forward in your progress to be the best you can be.
So I'm just thinking that there's an athlete, let's say, that's listening to this thinking, well, that sounds quite good. Do I go in and buy a program, or is there no need? Because I just tell the system what I need and it writes the program for me. So there's no pre-written plans like are offered by many coaches and sites around the place. You just give it the right data and it will do all of that planning for you. Yeah. Based on your goals and expectations. Yeah.
Yep. That's right. Yeah. You plug in your wearable. So the very first thing, if you onboard to Athletica, the first thing it asks you to do is hook up your Garmin Connect or Strava. Okay. We capture, you know, get about 70% of the market through Garmin Connect, and the remainder, usually you can hook up to Strava. We're doing more integrations down the pipeline, but those from now, we can actually just with that capture about 99% of the market. So that's the first step, is hooking up your wearable, because right after that, we get your power profile and your pace profile. So that would be, you know, that's like how we actually get like a profile of an athlete also, in terms of how twitchy you are, how much of a diesel engine you are, or if you're a hybrid athlete as well. Mm-hmm. And we're also working towards individualizing the sessions relative to your phenotype. Right. So how much slow versus fast twitch fibers, we get insight into that as well. Again, these are things that, you know, coaches often will take years to really appreciate, and trial and error to get insight into that level of, you know, if you're a twitchy hybrid or diesel type athlete. And we can probably get that, we feel, right off the bat with a 2-year download. So that's the first thing. And then, of course, like we said, you plug in your race date or dates. You can have as many A races, B races, C races across the various different endurance sports that we support: triathlon, duathlon, running, cycling, and very soon rowing. We're just about to launch rowing.
Nothing for those Norwegians yet that are langlaufing. Yep.
We're writing the plans, writing the templates right now. Well, if you mean cross country skiing, that one's next on the ranks. That's right.
Excellent. I hope you're enjoying the show so far and learning a lot. If you aren't already a regular listener, I hope you feel you might come back. Please make sure to hit the subscribe button so you know whenever a new episode arrives. I publish these twice a week, ad-free, and with the mission of improving the health and performance of endurance athletes around the world. And to help me, I'd love it if you could share the episode with one person you think could benefit. If you have a couple more minutes, perhaps you could leave me a review on your chosen platform once you've finished listening to this episode. Okay, let's get back to the show. Are you linked in with Whoop and Aura then for sort of sleep and HRV and everything?
No, just Garmin at this point. So we do nocturnal HRV and sleep and heart rate using anyone that's on the Garmin system. So Whoop and Aura are definitely on our roadmaps for integration, but not as of today. They're not there yet. So we've in terms of like this, like where we're at with Athletica, we're a very small startup. We're less than 10 individuals that are working part time. But we've just received investment, our first investment round, after the pre-seed investment from Alistair. We've moved into a new round, and this is going to get us to the next level with all of these various different integrations, a brand new UI UX, which people are going to love, and even more work and personalization and gamification in the session analysis comments, which are really cool. Keep the user engaged.
You mentioned UI UX. You'll have to explain what that means to me, please.
Sorry. Yeah. I speak about it all the time. I just figure everyone knows it. So the user interface and the user experience is you know, we've got the feedback that we've had is that Athletica looks a little beta, looks a little clunky. And, you know, we hear that. And, you know, people that are in today's day and age, they're used to Instagram and and Facebook and these things that work really slick without any bugs and these kinds of things. And so that's the level that we know we need to get to. We've actually just hired the front end designer and that just left Today's Plan. I'm not sure you probably would have heard that Today's Plan folded. Well, we were one of the beneficiaries of that that folding. So yeah, Levi is doing an amazing job, and so in a very short period of time, we're going to get to a new standard for our user interface, and it's going to be something that people want to get into and want to go to. Coupled with all the AI things that we've been talking about, right?
You obviously, you'll be familiar with the phrase garbage in, garbage out, right?
Yes.
So the quality of the data that Athletica is using is only as good as the data that that's being inputted, and also the completeness, if that's even a word, of the data that somebody's putting in. So, you know, I know that from my own experiences and observations that a lot of athletes get a bit lazy when their Garmin is linked up to Training Peaks, for instance, because next time it goes near a Bluetooth signal, it'll just send that information over to the app and it gets loaded up, and they think that that's feedback on their session, right? There are daily metrics in most platforms now, and smiley faces and sort of 1 to 5 scores for motivation and fatigue and things that you and I have talked about on previous podcasts, but they don't always get filled in. So the quality of the program and its adjustments daily require a certain amount of personal responsibility from the athlete. Am I correct there, or am I missing something?
Yeah, I would say yes. I mean, garbage in, garbage out. There's just no question, right? But I would kind of argue that it's the same for you as a coach. If you're if your athlete is not playing ball with you and they're not really doing too much, you're kind of running blind with how they're actually going. If they're not writing any comments, if they're not really, you know, giving you your rating perceived exertion, RPE, or feel. So that's what we have. Athletica works best when you get that good quality description after your session. I will say we push to Garmin and pull from Garmin. So you don't just, we don't just, like, you can actually just click on a button on Athletica and it pushes all the Athletica sessions. So so basically I go on my watch and I click on, you know, I'm going to do a run session today, and boop, there's the session, right? And I can just go through, do the run session or any of the sessions, right? It's kind of cool. And when I'm done, it actually asks me on my watch for my RPE and my feel, and I click those, and then those are uploaded as well. So the only thing that we're missing is the written comments, but that's the only thing maybe to do. And that's what potentially the job of the coach in the context where we have a coach that's coaching an athlete on Athletica. You might get on your phone or whatever and say, hey, can you just tell me a little bit more about this, please? And it's we're no different than you as a coach. If we both, Athletica will thrive on that. We use Google Semantic Analysis, and then the LLMs also feed that info, and we know what's going on in the life based on that. And then we can relay that also to the coach.
Right. So that was my point. And, you know, I love all this in this conversation. I'm definitely invested in this whole process, but I'm playing devil's advocate here now. So please don't feel like I'm being contrary. That will be me. Okay. So there's no data there. Let's get on WhatsApp and hi Bob, or hi Sharon. I've not seen any comments for a few days. Everything okay? You know, and of course, through previous conversations, I know that Sharon, when she gets into focus mode with work or school studies or whatever, she tends to shut up and on everything else. And so I can tell that she's getting engaged with something else, and then training and probably sleep and everything else is getting marginalized. So that's the empathy bit, isn't it? And the understanding of the person that I still feel requires the coach input.
100%.
And
we agree.
Yeah,
we would not have built a coach platform alongside the athlete platform if we didn't believe that as well.
Okay.
Coaches are instrumental in getting the most out of you as an athlete. Not every athlete has the personality where they want that, right? So we recognize there's really two markets. Mm-hmm. But I mean, so one of our partners is Robbie Bruce, C26 in Kansas City, has 400 athletes that he's slowly moving over into Athletica, right? So he's all on board with this sort of thing, right? When he's got multiple coaches and then big schools of athletes there and stuff. But yeah, he's like, you know, again, that empathy piece is probably the most important thing, really. And who was I speaking to? John Keeley. Have you ever heard of him? He's in the UK. He's incredible as a sports scientist kind of guy. And he is huge on really getting, he's really saying that the plan, you know, I'm shooting myself in the foot here, Simon, but it's like, he says like that it's not as much the actual plan versus the belief in the coach and the plan that's mm-hmm. the key thing. And he's got the data that shows that when he's analyzing coaches, that's what coaches kind of believe. So the ability for a coach to make that connection with the athlete is really, really powerful. And they can kind of go to the next level when they believe that.
So that makes me think of Franz Stampfl when he was coaching Roger Bannister, and he said coaching and training is primarily an act of faith. You know, because a bit like we were talking about whether I should have an ACL op or not, you know, we don't really know which is the right decision until 12 months down the road and I see how I'm getting on. And if everything's okay without an operation, then we'll be back talking and I'll say, you were right, Paul. It was, but equally, it could not go right. And I might be saying, well, that was rubbish, but I wouldn't have known that with it, you know, no hindsight. So, and I feel like, you know, you and I know a lot of awesome coaches, and the one thing, or one of the traits that we probably could both identify fairly easy, is that connection they have with their athletes, the trust that they have. That coach, with their experience, could probably choose five different approaches, and all we know all of them work. You know, lots of volume, some intensity, you know, recovery on demand, anything. They all work, and they're examples of athletes. But it's why would this particular athlete invest the time with that particular coach and believe in that particular program is going to get him the gold medal or the world record? And that's the belief and the trust in the program and in the coach, isn't it? And the confidence that you build, and the understanding that even when things are going wrong, it's just a small step backwards, but it's still going in the right direction and trending towards the outcome we want.
Exactly. So now imagine you're the coach and you've bought into that philosophy, and now you've got an assistant coach that's really giving you ideal programming, you know, that's basically just in your back pocket. And you can just kind of trust it and rely on it and just tweak and move sessions accordingly. And then you can really get into that piece you just described, Simon, and really start working with that athlete on their, on that connection with them, on getting them to believe in what they're doing and taking them to a next level.
So currently then, the system, you can't tell the system other than via words and via maybe some metrics that say my mood's low today. Or I remember you and I talked about whether HRV was as valuable as everybody said. And you made a point that you felt that a higher priority was assigned to somebody saying what their mood was at a particular day. And I spoke with Brian McKenzie as well from Shift, and he said the same thing. When they've looked at all their elite athletes, mood was a hugely positive correlation with predictor of performance. So would you have plans to build in work stress and family issues and poor sleep into and mood into the system, or is that the empathy bit that's based on the coach-athlete relationship still?
Yeah, no, that's built in that's being built in. So we currently have nocturnal HRV, heart rate, and sleep coming in from your Garmin, if you're on the Garmin system. And we'll be putting those in with others in the future as well. And then we are thinking about a potential morning check-in for these sorts of things. Because you're right, the research supports the fact that your mood, how you feel, is a larger weighting factor than just your, you know, these physiological metrics that we're taking. So there's a greater reliability to trust your brain, your mind, which again on the podcast, right? So yeah, so it's something. It's kind of a nice to have. But it's yeah, we really gotta all develop our feel for training and trust in that our mind does know. I think it was one of your questions actually. It's like, what's the risks here of this whole AI field? And well, one of the risks is over reliance on the data. So we have to know. We've sang the praises of Athletica and competing companies out there, but we have to realize at the end of the day that you, the listener, the user, the coach, you still know better. You still know best. These are tools, these are tools for leveraging. But don't be just blatantly trusting in them, because you've got to know your context more than the machine does. And this is again garbage in, garbage out, right? It's possible that your heart rate monitor was relying on the wrist-based one, which we know isn't as reliable as a chest strap, and maybe your heart rate's through the roof, but it actually isn't. Or, maybe you had some issue with your power meter and you had some problem with the cadence, or it got bumped and your force kinetics are put out. Or maybe the GPS system and satellites weren't spinning in the right orbital today, yesterday, and your GPS was out. So all these sorts of things are going to create the garbage in, and you've got to be really... common sense always kind of prevails, feel always prevails. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you've only just got a coach and you're not even using a training program. It's the same sort of thing. You the user need to work on developing your own feel for exercise training and make it fun. Like make it part of a process and something that's a really fun hobby to kind of do, right? Like I love my own process of trying to optimize my health and performance and stay fit as an old guy, right? So I think we all should kind of, it's a great hobby to have.
Well, you mentioned fun there, and somebody asked me, does the system build in an element of fun?
Yes.
In order to keep athletes engaged, because we know that, don't we? We know that for every Alistair Brownlee that will do a session, because it's set there and he has the long-term vision. I think Alan Cousins said the best athletes are the ones who can cope with monotony and boredom the best. But we also know that there's a lot of athletes that like being engaged, and that's why they like Zwift, and that's why they like these gamification apps. So what do you have in there that introduces an element of fun to keep people engaged?
Mm-hmm, yeah, we're working on this right now. So this is our guru, AI guru, Dr. Andrea Zignoli, runs our backend models, and he's building in. He's really like a prompt engineer now, and he prompting is the art of asking ChatGPT or any other large language model a question. That's very important for us when we're designing our backend. So Andrea is really working on these ideal prompts that are using your data and your comments and from Athletica to keep you engaged in the process of your training, right? So Monday might be kind of a recap day, and it's like here's sort of what we saw in the last week. You did X, Y, and Z. You did this really well. Now looking ahead for this week, we're going to do X. This is kind of coming up. Are you ready for that? So it's really really working on engaging the user at every possible possible moment. That actually moves to back to the UI UX question. We're developing a mobile app as well, right? So a standalone mobile app. We don't have that at this point in time. You can use Athletica on your phone browser, which works really well, but people want a standalone mobile app that has notifications and whatnot. So that is another thing that we're building at this point in time, back to Levi. So the AI engagement will be right there on the notifications. And it's like really the speed at which we can do that. We can do that as soon as the person wakes up or as soon as the person finishes a session. And again, it's the AI can beat out me as a coach. So if it can beat out me as a coach and in terms of its response, it can probably beat out a few others. So
unless you have the benefit of having all those athletes in the program, right? In a center where you see them walk onto the pool in the morning. But that's, you know, AI is really just
good point. Good point. For sure. Absolutely. Right. Like, I still don't see why you couldn't have both though. Right. Mm-hmm. And again, this is why, like, have a digital presence and a digital explanation, but then even better if you're running a pool group as well, because now the data is so rich that's kind of coming in because you're right there with the user, the person. And you can see the fatigue on them, all those sorts of things, right? See mm-hmm. how they're swimming in the pool, see their energy levels. So yeah, all those sorts of things are right there, way richer in that context.
Well, I'm thinking back to, you know, the days of coaching and athletic training when we only had a stopwatch and a notebook, right? Before heart rate monitors, you know, in the 80s and 90s when you know, Polo wasn't really even putting stuff out there. If you had a notebook of the sessions of people at the pool, I remember Jack Maitland used to keep, he loved writing his notebook. He'd have one there for every swim session. I mean, he had an A5 Moleskine full of swim session data, and he could tell you how Alistair was tracked by Johnny 2 years apart. You know, they were 2 years different, and he would look at the data and say, Johnny is putting out exactly the same times as Alistair did when he was 16, 17, 18, right? But there'd be an awful lot of page flicking to get back to that right date, wouldn't they? He'd have to go back, find his diary from 2007, and then look at the one from 2009 and see what they were doing, compare them on the same sessions. And that's just for one session. And then Malcolm's got all the data from the track, and, you know, and that's just two lots of data from sessions, never mind sleep, heart rate, and all the other stuff. So I can see, even if you're in a program, if you're collecting data from athletes and then trying to look at it and plot trends and all those things, it's you'd be spending all your time in a dark room, wouldn't you? Never coming out and doing any coaching.
Exactly. Right. And now we have the tools available where computers and machines can do that for us. As long as we're collecting good data.
Mm. My wife had a really good thought, right? Let's say that somebody's, you know, they've been working, they've got a run on the program, and they're not ill, they're not injured, but they just think, like people, like humans do, oh, I can't be bothered to do that session today. And they have a couple of those in a week. Now, we know, because again, there's the evidence there that motivation is usually linked to other life stresses. And so there might be something in the background. But let's say somebody's just not quite as motivated for a particular reason and they can't be bothered to do it. But then if the AI is looking at that and thinking, well, they haven't completed all those sessions, so I'm going to adjust the training back. And yet, oh, no, hold on. I still want to do the next big week of training coming up. Is there a danger that AI is going to take over from what the athlete had in mind, or is there a way of managing that?
Well, you can always, at Athletica, you can always override whatever you want to do. You can do exactly what you just described and not do those sessions. Mm-hmm. But again, remember, the most powerful piece of Athletica is the logic. And I'll tell you what's going to happen next week. It's not going to hit you with what was planned, so you can go smoke yourself for a week. It's going to probably pull training back because mm-hmm. it's going to recognize that you're not as fit as you were. So it's always looking at your calculated fitness. So it's going to pull training load back so that you don't violate basic ratios of acute load relative to the chronic fitness load that you've amounted. There's some other things that we look at as well in terms of load response, but yeah, like, it's the goal of Athletica is to enable consistent training day in, day out. So the best thing to do, if Athletica is recommending that, unless the feel is really strong, the best thing to do would be to get out there, start the session, and, you know, if you're still buggered, then pull the pin. But more often than not, after, you know, if you've got through 10 minutes of that session, most people keep going. And that's usually the better strategy long term.
Yeah, I always I would say to people, nothing bad ever comes of stepping back a bit on the intensity or the session volume or taking an extra rest day, but it can undo quite a lot if you go the other way and do a little bit too much before you're ready, or just, you know, for the current status you're at. So
that's right.
You know, this I know that sort of, you know, challenges a lot of athletes' mentality, but I think the proof's in the pudding there, that if you have a day taking it easy or missing a session, it will always work out for the best in the long run.
Yep, for sure.
I've got a Sunto, by the way. I don't have a Garmin, so does that make me not a very good customer for Athletica?
No, you'd work, but you just have to connect it to Strava.
Ah, okay. Well, I don't have a Strava account either, so now I've got to invest. Now I've got to, and I'm playing devil's advocate here, but now I've got to invest in two more things as well as Athletica.
Well, Strava accounts are free, so you just have to. You can put a private Strava account on there, not follow any friends or anything like that. And then it's at least it's hooked up to a medium that's going to hook up to Athletica, and then you're on your way.
Okay, so I don't have to be in the social media.
No.
Environment.
But Strava's a pretty cool one. I that's the only one that I kind of like out of all of them is Strava. It's pretty cool.
I like the general principle, but like most social media things, they were designed for good, but occasionally they can end up not being so productive. And I have had athletes in the past who will get sucked into the Strava challenges that he suggests they do this time and totally. That, and end up getting pulled by that away from the program they should be following. And that's when that's when it frustrates me. But that's maybe down to a conversation with the athlete as well, between the coach, isn't it?
Exactly.
So, Paul, I think you've been on a lot of podcasts and fielded a lot of questions about the general conversation around AI and how it's going to influence coaching. Is there anything I should have asked you that I haven't, that you could share with the audience?
No, I don't really think so. I mean, maybe the only one is really just one we could kind of leave on is the fear of the when a new technology kind of emerges, and just to remind people that we've been here before, and what are things that are similar in the past, right? Like the Industrial Revolution we went through here, right? Like all the way back to that. And those that didn't kind of adapt in that period of time, they kind of felt, they suffered a little bit. And it was, same with, emergence of computers, emergence of phones, all these sorts of things. Well, AI it's really just another one of these new technologies that's emerging. There's always going to be a little bit of fear in the beginning, but once you get your head around understanding and appreciating that it is just a tool, the more you can kind of embrace it, learn to embrace it, and use it for your own good and advantage. And especially, I think if you're a coach, you want to be putting some, and your livelihood depends on this. You probably want to do this a little bit sooner rather than later, or you're going to become redundant, and you don't want to do that, because athletes are going to be able to want to use coaches that know how to leverage these tools so that they can get the most out of, the athletes can get the most out of themselves. Athletes still want to win races, right? So, or get them, be as healthy as they can. So if coaches aren't leveraging the tools to help them do that, they might go elsewhere. So that would be my final kind of closing comments. But
I mean, Yorkshire, where I'm based, was the heart of the woolen industry, and the Luddites. I think they originated in Nottinghamshire, which is a bit further south from me. But that quickly spread to Yorkshire as they were protesting about the industrialization of all of those processes and smashing up the machines. So that and then obviously if you went into steam, and then the infernal combustion engine, as it was called, came along, and who's going to drive one of those things when we can use a horse and cart?
I mean, we've been here a thousand times with various different technologies. This is just another one, folks. So yeah, hang on for the ride and enjoy it.
Well, Prof, as always, it's been It's been intellectually stimulating for me. It's been an interesting conversation. You're always open and honest and, you know, so generous sharing your knowledge. So thank you. Thank you again for the call. The Plues, by the way, will be clawing at the papers now to see where you are on the leaderboard, because I think you've probably overtaken him. So that means we'll have to get him back on. So this is good, really, for talking of gamifying it, because it means I've always got a constant supply of podcast guests. we just need to keep finding decent topics to chat about.
Fantastic. Well, that's great. Yeah, always a joy to listen to the Plues as well, for sure.
All right.
Thank you so much for having me on, Simon. It's always a pleasure. And yeah, all the best to you, to your ACL rehab, and to all your listeners.
Thanks, Prof. Take care. Hopefully see you again soon.
See ya.
Thank you again to the Prof for being my guest on the show this week. I'm actually really excited to see how AI might enhance the work I do as a coach in the next few years. So it's going to be an interesting ride for all of us. To make sure you don't miss any of our future episodes, please go to iTunes or any other platform that you use, search for High Performance Human Triathlon Podcast, and then click on the subscribe button. And when you finish listening, if you could share this episode with just one person that you think could benefit, that would be awesome. And what would be even more awesome, if you've got a couple more minutes, is if you could leave me a review on your chosen platform. Okay, please make sure you check out the show notes, because there's some interesting links there for some of the stuff that Paul and I chatted about today, including those new tech products that he's been reviewing. And that's all for this week. In 7 days' time, I'll have another great guest, and I hope you'll be there to join me. But for now, enjoy the rest of your week and your weekend, and happy training.